This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Hope you're well today. We're back in Akureyri for another visit to another of the town's museums. I'm back with Harald Thor, who is the museum director of the many museums in town. And today we're just walking into the Toy Museum. As we heard in a previous show, intriguingly, the man behind this museum was also behind a move to make Akureyri a dry city, or at least a drier city than it was.
Yes, it was really his project in life to make people stop drinking and stop smoking. He was called Friðbjörn.
So we're in the home of the gentleman who wanted to reduce the dependence on alcohol in Akureyri, which became this toy museum about 10 years ago.
Yes, yeah. And is a fitting way to use an old building like this.
Yes.
For this purpose, to as a museum and as a children's museum, because yes. the sobriety society actually also was quite, there was a big operation of making kids do nice things and yes. then, like teaching them about the bad ways of drinking.
So there's two stories here, really, isn't there? There's the story of the push towards sobriety and the story of the toy museum. So let's talk about that first, because it is fascinating. And we touched on it in the previous or a previous show that Akureyri was quite a wild place, if you go back into history. What was the desire to change that, led you think?
I think all the drinking and all the, it was a growing city, all the 19th and early 20th century. And that brought with it, more turbulence, within society. Mm-hmm. And that was affecting a lot of families. So this society wanted to make, society in general better, a better mm-hmm. place for people to grow up in and, mm-hmm. Not to destroy their life with alcohol and tobacco.
And a push then for more things to do. People had more options other than just spending their time getting drunk. That was the desire.
Yeah, that was one of their desire, both to educate people mm-hmm. and to make them, make it possible for them to enjoy themselves without alcohol.
So the building that we're in, owned by the Sobriety Society, how long was that society in existence then? Is it still in existence?
I think it's still in existence. Yeah. It's not as, I'm not sure it's in existence in Akureyri now, but in Reykjavik, it's still in existence.
But this house now, part of the museum estate in Akureyri.
Yes. Yeah.
So a toy museum for the last 10 years. Why a toy museum? Where did that idea come from?
Well, actually, there was a woman in town who started with dolls. So she started collecting them, I think, in the late 1990s. And once the word got out, people started sending her their special toys
yes.
to preserve.
Lots of dolls here in the room that we're in, which feels like the main room. There's a whole variety, all crammed into this box here. There's a lot of dolls. So a lot of donations were obviously made.
Yes, this is all made by donations.
Yes.
Not a single doll has been bought by the museum or the original collector. But she was really meticulous about collecting toys. So there's every kind of toy here.
There is not just dolls at all. We've got fluffy toy animals. There are toy cars. There's a musical keyboard, a little musical keyboard up there as well, and lots of Smurf figurines. And that's just on this side that we're looking at. My Little Pony over here. And again, I think we maybe mentioned this in a previous show. It shows that toys are universal, because a lot of the toys that have been donated here, you'd have found in bedrooms all over the world, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. And people rediscover their childhood when they come here and see something either that they owned or they wanted to own.
That said, you will see the Masters of the Universe poster in Icelandic here.
Yes, that's one of the things in the past. Unfortunately, this is not done today. But everything was translated, every
yes.
movie
yes.
Was translated, every title was translated. And that's why people, well, the mothers and fathers, they know the names of the masters of the universe in Icelandic. And hopefully they teach their kids the Icelandic name for He-Man, which is Garpur.
Yes, and give us the name for Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull was Gráskalla Kastali.
So this
which
was...
is a, you know, directly translation.
Yes. So there's an educational element to this, I suppose, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, trying to preserve this small language.
Absolutely.
Know? And this all helps, so...
Yeah, to see something that's so internationally recognizable with this very important Icelandic stamp on it is incredibly important. Also in this museum, we head into another room, there are more dolls. That one's quite big. That's a bit scary.
Yeah, this one could actually walk. And today, I'm not sure that kids play a lot with dolls because some kids get quite scared with dolls.
Yeah.
And that's probably the movie thing. Well,
this one's about a meter tall and it looks a little bit scary to me, I have to say. I understand that.
But we've got some Icelandic games here, at least games which have been, some board games that have been printed and operate in Icelandic. And you still see that in stores today. It does feel as if Icelandic was able to create it and sustain its own board games.
Yes, you know, lots of Icelandic board games, but some, for instance, Trivial Pursuit was translated into Icelandic for many years. This was actually one of the things that people bought for every Christmas. You know, there was a new edition in Icelandic, and there's actually, I think there must be a Facebook group that's trying to get it translated again into Icelandic.
I think Scrabble is used in Icelandic as a way of learning the language, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That one thing that has changed is that I think kids now don't make their own toys like they used to in the past. You know, in some ways that's a good thing because you know it's not good to make your own tin soldiers actually from tin, which is from you know car batteries like they used to do with some of the in the 1920s and 30s, but we also have you know like have toys that people make for their own fun. Yes.
Where are those? I'm looking for examples maybe of homemade toys in this museum. Let's take a look because I certainly wouldn't if I know that my parents didn't have the skills to make toys, and I know I wouldn't either. I'm very clumsy when it comes to assembling such things.
And that's where the school system comes in.
Because, yes.
Lots of toys that, you know, people or kids made in school.
Yes.
So here are some of those toys, both made in school and ships.
Yeah, model boats, which are in wonderful detail. There are some yachts here as well. So these are all handmade, the aeroplanes as well. Really inventive, really high quality stuff. Is this partly because if you go back far enough, the cost of importing items would have been expensive?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you didn't have a full room of toys. You know, you had a precious few. And that's one of the main differences. But you always have this urge to play with something. So you know, in the past, you would take like fish bones and carve out some animals from fish bones or. Mm. Or just use the bones from the sheep to work with.
And how wonderful that they're being preserved here in this museum.
Yes, we're really lucky to have this toy museum here, and really grateful for people to donate all this stuff. And we actually say more no than yes to stuff that's in you know presented to us. Yeah.
People still want to donate them?
Yes, of course. It's their toys, you know. It's precious to them, so they want them. They want the toys to get a special place.
Yes. Well, they certainly have that here.
Yeah.
At the toy museum, again, we have dolls in prams, and as we said, some of this is recognizable internationally. Some of it feels very specifically Icelandic, and that's one of the joys I think of being in this museum. Lots of trolls.
Yes, that's an Icelandic tradition to have trolls.
Yes.
Yeah, but some of the things like the football pitch, you know, people recognize that. But I always tell them that this is an old boys team. You can see it by the hair. Everyone is bald now because they're getting quite old.
Actually, the paint has come off the heads of the players, if indeed it was ever there. There's a playroom here too.
Absolutely. You know, if you see all these toys you want to play, So you can, you know, use some of the toys which are on display.
Yes, we've just walked through the kitchen where all the miniature toy kitchens are on display as well. Kitchens inside the kitchens.
So you can play with your own Grayskull or your own He-Man or Garpur, as we would call it in Icelandic.
And is this where the parents say to the kids, no, I know you want to leave, but I want to stay for a bit? Is this where that happens?
Yeah, the parents mostly stay trying to look at looking at the display, yes. Seeing all the stuff they really wanted to own.
Yeah, I feel like I'm 5 years old again.
That's good. That's the intention.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
So this is the Toy Museum, which you can visit in Akureyri. It's one of the many museums that you look after here. This is one of the museums that's only open in the summer.
Yes, this is open from June till the end of August.
And do you find that when people come here, it brings back their own childhoods?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sometimes funny that, you know, when people come here with their kids, the kids sometimes want to leave, you know, after an hour. The parents really want to stay a little longer.
Because a lot of the toys here, I guess, for young children these days would be unrecognizable. I mean, there's a... I don't even know what... I remember this from my childhood, but I've forgotten what the word is, where you can look through a little cardboard disc of slides through a kind of viewfinder and see different images. What are these even called?
I think you hit upon the right name. I think it's called a viewfinder.
Is it called a viewfinder? Yeah, and I used to have one of these.
Actually, yesterday we just found out for another exhibition we are making that you can actually make your own. There's a company that makes a disc for you with your own personal photographs.
That would be wonderfully nostalgic.
Absolutely. I think we're going to do it for the exhibition.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Harald og Thor. We're going to talk again at another one of the museums. Where would you want to take us next?
Well, there's a large industrial museum, and because there's an industrial heritage here as well from the past. That would be a surprise for many people.
Okay. Well, let's return to that on our next visit. For now, this is RUV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from RUV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.